Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 70 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Ellen Barnett.
I mean, they're just shooting cars up, shooting houses up, shooting at each other, shooting people.
Lexington residents are worried about a growing paintball war trend. A family in Nicholas County was saved from a fire by a toddler on Wednesday. Finishing touches are still being put on Rowan County's new detention center, expected to open in early June. In sports, Moorhead State's baseball team hosts Jacksonville State starting as we speak. Bud Luke has your stock report. There's a 50% chance of showers tonight with a low around 59. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news. A family in Nicholas County was saved by a toddler during a fire that occurred on Wednesday. According to WKYT, the fire happened around 8 a.m. on Lower Sharpsburg Road. Family members say everyone was asleep until 2-year-old Hayden woke them up. While the family lost all of their belongings, including some of their pets, they say if it weren't for Hayden, they would have all lost their lives. The fire was caused by electrical issues. The family says they will stay at a friend's until they find another place. An indictment has been handed down in a triple murder case out of Martin County. 28-year-old Lance Ward is facing 3 counts of murder and 2 counts of robbery after 3 people were found dead at an abandoned strip mine in late March. Wade Smith is the uncle of one of the victims. He says his family is glad to see justice.
We're excited. Don't seem like a long time, but for us, it's been a long time in coming.
Ward was already held in a West Virginia jail when he was charged. A judge set his bail at $100,000. An Ohio woman is facing charges from several law enforcement agencies after her arrest in Martin County. According to WYMT, Alexis Williams of Pike, Ohio, was taken into custody on numerous warrants on Wednesday. Charges include auto theft by unlawful taking or disposition, being a fugitive from another state, bail jumping, and failure to appear. Williams was extradited to Martin County from Pickaway County, Ohio. She's accused of stealing a car, guns, and cash in Mingo County. Over the past several weeks, she has been transferred between different counties to face different charges. Investigators say Williams was also wanted in Wayne County and Mingo County, West Virginia. A woman wanted on murder charges in Franklin County was captured by local law enforcement in Ashland on Wednesday. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, the Ashland Police Department was tipped off that 30-year-old Ashley Jones of Frankfort had fled to Ashland to avoid capture. The Lexington Herald Leader reported that Jones is accused of killing Marcus Morris by stabbing him in the neck outside a Frankfort apartment complex on Monday. Officers located and arrested Jones at the Knights Inn on U.S. 60. During the arrest, police found more than 70 grams of hallucinogenic mushrooms and more than 9 grams of synthetic marijuana. Jones remains lodged in the Boyd County Detention Center. Neighbors in Lexington say they're nervous a growing trend will escalate into violence. According to WKYT, residents of Ohio Street have made multiple complaints about late-night paintball shootings in recent weeks. Paintball wars are a growing trend across the country. Tina Miller says groups of teenagers will start shooting at each other late at night.
Paintballs? I mean, they're just shooting cars up, shooting houses up, shooting at each other, shooting people. There's about 20 of them. Probably close to it, and they just got different vehicles. Most of them is under 18.
Lexington police say they've stepped up patrols in the area following recent complaints. The movement began as an effort to combat gun violence in the city of Atlanta, but critics say it's spiraled out of control. The, quote, paintball wars have been linked to 2 deaths in recent months. Maysville police are asking for information on 2 women who have been running a scam. WMKY's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
Augusta resident Jamie Jett Hurst was seeking donations from local businesses for a benefit honoring her late daughter, Gracie. According to the Ledger Independent, the money raised will be used for a toy drive, scholarships, and to raise awareness for ovarian cancer. This year, however, when Jett Hurst tried to solicit donations from Maysville paint store Sherman Williams, she was told the business had already donated items for a fundraiser in Gracie's name. They told her two females had come in a few days before with a flyer of Gracie's picture on it asking for assistance. The manager described the women as blonde, with one in her 30s and the other in her 50s. Anyone with information about the scammers are asked to call the Maysville Police Department at 606-564-9411. For WMKY, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
Carter County is stepping up its fight against those who illegally dump trash into its creeks and streams and along its back roads. The Carter County Fiscal Court has given Solid Waste Coordinator Mike Brammel the okay to place trail cameras in locations around the county where illegal dumping is at its worst. Those caught in the act will be charged with a crime and will face potential fines of up to $500. Judge Executive Mike Malone says Carter County's problem with illegal dumpers is a severe one and it needs to be fixed.
There's a lot of people here with the mindset, put it in the creek and it'll go, it'll become somebody else's problem. And, you know, that's unfair on every level to everybody out here. It's hurting our prospects of attracting people to come here. And we have some beautiful waterways with Tigert and Little Sandy and Grayson Reservoir and Carter Case. And why people would defile those is beyond me.
Malone says this isn't about punishing people. It's about getting them to stop getting rid of their trash illegally. Carter County has earlier placed large dumpsters at various locations to help people properly dispose of their old furniture, TVs, and other large items. The city of Flemingsburg has been fined by state authorities. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins has the story.
The $60,000 fine comes after an explosion that occurred in January of 2016 during the repairing of a leaking natural gas line in Maeslick. Issuing the fine is the Kentucky Public Service Commission. The PSC levied the civil penalty but suspended $30,000 of the fine. When the PSC investigated the incident, they found a number of safety violations, including a potential ignition source during the repairs, and Flemingsburg not conducting required drug and alcohol testing of employees. The proceeding against the city of Flemingsburg was issued in March 2017. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
We'll have more of your area's news coming up right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, video tapes, and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
Revenue is expected to decrease while expense is expected to go up for the city of Flemingsburg in the next fiscal year. That's according to Mayor Marty Voyers. Voyers presented a draft budget for the 2018-19 fiscal year to the city council on Monday. Voyer says projected revenues are going to be down by approximately 3%, and expected expenses for the year are projected to be around $2.2 million. He says much like last year, the budget will be able to balance.
In both cases, the expenses slightly exceed the revenues, but with carry forward funds and investment funds and things like that, we have plenty to operate on so that we have a healthy fund balance at the end of the budget.
No action was taken on the plan, but the Council and Finance Committee will review the draft for some revisions before it has its official first reading during the regularly scheduled Council meeting. With construction on the $18 million facility nearly completed, some more change orders have popped up for Rowan County's new detention center. The adjustments are nothing major. They involve the addition of a countertop in the control room, a privacy screen in the detox area, a radio antenna support, flashing for some mechanical room louvres, and a modification to the kitchen hood for fire suppression purposes. At this point, Judge Executive Walter Blevin says contractors are looking to put the finishing touches on the 275-bed structure.
They're doing a punch list, going around every room looking for paint on, where it needs painting, where something needs tightened up, something needs sanded and or maybe sealed. They went through every room in that facility, and there's hundreds of rooms.
Rowan County still has $600,000 left in the jail construction's contingency fund. The new detention center is expected to open in early June. The Moorheads Police Department is preparing to hold a fundraising event. The agency will hold its first annual armored truck pool at the Moonlight Stage on First Street in the city's downtown. Chief Derek Blevins says all of the event's proceeds will go to help Rowan County's Special Olympic athletes.
What we're asking people to do is to get together teams of 10 people and see who can pull that 40,000-pound vehicle 25 feet the fastest. And what we're doing, we got a minimum donation of $150 per team entry. And, you know, if they raise more money, that's great.
Teams will be racing to see how fast they can pull the Moorhead Police Department's 40,000-pound rescue vehicle. The winning group will get a trophy. There will also be awards for such things as the wackiest costumes and for the team that finishes with the worst time. Competition forms can be picked up at the police station in downtown Moorhead. With the threat of overdoses in Kentucky, Rowan County officials say they're offering a solution for addicts wishing to recover. According to WKYT, from December 2017 to April of 2018, Rowan County attorneys filed 19 petitions under Casey's Law. The law has been around since 2004 and allows a friend, coworker, or family member to file a petition requesting a judge order them to drug treatment. If the user doesn't follow through on appointments and court dates, a warrant can be issued for their arrest. Assistant Rowan County Attorney Ashley Adkins coordinates the Casey's Law petitions, and she says when it started out, it was too expensive.
A lot of these families, you know, they've spent money in the past for their loved ones to go to rehab. You know, they've given them money to help support them, and so they don't have anything when they come to us. And that's when we really realized if we want to make this work for everyone, there has to be funding available.
Adkins says Casey's Law is now free in Rowan County after a $20,000 grant given by Pathways. A new poll by Kentucky Health Issues reveals 7 in 10 adults believe addiction is a disease, regardless of whether they've had firsthand experience with it. The Northern Kentucky Health Department's District Director of Health, Dr. Lynn Sadler, who says she is encouraged by the findings because it means that people no longer have the misguided belief that addiction is a character flaw.
It shows me that people are learning about substance use disorders and they are recognizing that we are dealing with a disease and we need to treat it like we treat other diseases and approach it in a similar manner.
In 2016, the number of drug overdoses in Kentucky was the fifth highest in the nation. The time is 4:43. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition here on WMKY, and thanks for joining us today. On our feature segment, commentator John Modaff notices that "Oh Joy" has taken on a whole new meaning.
Professor Robert Hopper of the University of Texas at Austin once pointed out that people tend to use speech as a weapon. His precise term was dialect bigotry. And he was referring mainly to how people point out flaws in other people's speech, but tend to do that because they've got some other problem with the person or group. People we like, so Hopper's theory goes, are forgiven for speech oddities and nonconformities. I suppose you've figured out I'm talking about Hillary Clinton and Joy Reid. Mrs. Clinton, not so long ago, stated publicly that she thought marriage was something that happened between a man and a woman. And she got closer to the presidency, her views evolved, just as President Obama's did, to broaden the definition of marriage to include people of any gender in any combination of two. People accepted readily, almost eagerly, that their views evolved in the direction of acceptance. Of course, detractors called this evolution some names, including waffling, situational ethics, and pandering. Most of those people seemed to already have had a problem with Mrs. Clinton and Mr. Obama. Hopper predicts such things in relation to dialect, but in this case, I think also people who accepted them beforehand accepted their evolution in speech as it revealed their purported thoughts. People who rejected them beforehand rejected this evolution in speech and thought. And this brings us to Joy Reid, a news channel personality who has been praised by diverse communities for her open mind. But in a recent story in Long Aftermath, we have learned that she published blogs and other messages that included language of a demeaning nature, one might even say bigoted. That there are people who think that way is not a surprise to an aware adult, but that she thought that way ever is a surprise, a jolt, and one that seems similar to the aforementioned compatriots. Her evolution, however, wasn't from one definition of marriage to another. Apparently hers was from bigotry and hatred toward acceptance and understanding. Some people aren't buying that any more than her explanation that the archive of her material was hacked by people who wrote nasty things, pretending to be her old self. She did admit that some of the hateful material was hers, but she'd apologized long ago about that and used the handy argument that her views had evolved. What has been discovered or alleged recently, however, is so extensive that the earlier apology and evolution argument are no longer working for her. On one side, people argue her views have evolved, regardless of the amount or number of transgressions. Other people are saying, no, this is so extensive that we cannot accept that anyone could evolve from that level of hatefulness. When, not so many years ago, Mrs. Clinton and Mr. Obama both declared gay marriage illegitimate by insisting on a traditional definition of marriage, they were called haters by some, but forgiven. Is it just the extent of Mrs. Reed's hateful locutions that have people upset, or do they have a deeper problem with Joy Reed?
Hell, you crazy.
I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. And taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area, tonight there's a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 59. There's an 80% chance of showers on your Saturday, mainly afternoon, high near 69. On Saturday night, 80% chance of showers, lows around 54. On Sunday, there's a 40% chance of showers. Thunderstorms also possible after 5 p.m., partly sunny, highs near 74, and there's a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms on Sunday night, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 51. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it's currently 72 in Flemingsburg and Lexington. It's 73 in Ashland, 69 in Winchester, 75 in Inez, and it's 70 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University. Tilden Johnson has been keeping an eye on the sports. He is up right after this quick message.
Support for programming on Morehead State Public Radio is provided in part by Kentucky Wine, celebrating Kentucky commercial wineries that date back to 1799. Kentucky Wine blends history and heritage with modern practices. The Drink KY app serves as a passport to local winemakers, online at KentuckyWine.com.
The Eagles are at home. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Morehead State Baseball Eagles are starting a three-game weekend OVC series with Jacksonville State at Allen Field. MSU coach Mike McGuire says runs could be hard to come by for his ball club against the Gamecocks.
They lead the OVC in pitching. Their pitching numbers are good. They're going to run three good weekend starters out there at us. Offensively, they're middle of the pack offensively, but I think they're probably a little better offensively than what, you know, they play in a bigger ballpark, so, you know, than most of the OVC. So, you know, their pitching numbers you'd expect to be a little better, and their hitting numbers you expect to be a little less.
Currently in Game 1 of the series, the Eagles are losing 3-2 in the bottom of the first. At 14-7 in the OVC, the Eagles are tied with Eastern Kentucky for second place. Jacksonville State is one of three teams right on the heels of MSU and Eastern. The Gamecocks are 12-9 in league play. The Morehead softball Eagles are currently in Game 2 of their away series at Eastern Illinois. The Eagles lost their first game of the day today 2-0, and they are currently tied in Game 2 with two scores in the bottom of the first inning. The Eagles continue OVC play tomorrow when they start their doubleheader with SIU Edwardsville at 3:30 in the evening. The Cincinnati Reds will square off with the Miami Marlins at the Great American Ballpark tonight at 7:10 in Game 1 of a weekend series. At 7-24, the Reds sit dead last in the National League Central with the Majors' worst record. But interim manager Jim Riggleman insists that Cincinnati isn't that far away from turning things around.
You know, we're just not quite getting over the hump, and you know, that's where we are right now. That's why we are in the standings where we are, but we're going to get out of it. I really know we are getting closer, and we are going to get out of this.
Sal Romano will take his 1-3 record to the mound tonight for the Reds. Miami will counter with lefty Wai-Yin Shin. The 144th running of the Kentucky Derby will happen tomorrow at Louisville's famed Churchill Downs. With odds of 7-2, Justify remains the favorite to win this year's run for the Roses. Bob Baffert is the Colts trainer.
He's always been one, though. He's always been a superior animal. And so, you know, when they're that big and beautiful, and then they can run, and he's the way he's bred. So, I mean, all the ingredients are there. He just, you know, now we just need some racing luck.
Justify will start from the number 7 gate. 20 horses will take part in this year's Derby. European horse Mendelssohn could be Justify's top challenger. He's listed at 4-1 odds and will run from chute 14. The race is expected to start around 6:45 tomorrow evening. With spring practices ending just a couple of weeks ago for the Morehead State football team, Coach Rob Tenure says the Eagles are taking a short break. But, according to Tenure, it won't be long before his guys get back to the business of preparing for the rigors of the 2018 season.
We're going to give them a little time off, concentrate on some finals here, and we're going to have probably 60 players here in the months of June and July. And, you know, that's kind of where you start to develop your identity, guys come together, camaraderie, you know, and just spend a lot of time together, working out and working hard and preparing to play a long schedule. And that's the next phase.
The MSU football team will start preseason camp in August. The Eagles' first game is August 30th at Eastern Kentucky. In some NFL news, the Buffalo Bills have hired Dan Morgan to take over as their player personnel director. Morgan joined the Bills after spending the previous 7 seasons working his way up the Seattle Seahawks scouting ranks. He most recently served as Seattle's pro personnel director in overseeing the team's pro and advanced scouting duties. He replaces Brian Gain, who left the Bills just after 1 season to return to Houston in January and become the Texans' general manager. And the Minnesota Vikings are turning off the lights at the team's new practice facility in Eagan, Minnesota, after neighbors complained about the glow. Spokesman Jeff Anderson says the NFL team will turn off the lights between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m. The shutoff time will be moved to about midnight when the team hosts night events, such as high school games. The team moved into the new building in March. The building's north side is nearly 100 feet high and is lit up with the team's Norseman logo and the words Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center, home of the Minnesota Vikings. The team expects the change to occur this weekend. The Morehead State basketball Eagles are pondering their next recruiting move after recently signing 6'11 West Virginia high school star Sasha Suhanov. Coach Preston Spradlin's team has one vacant scholarship to fill.
We're kind of taking our time with it. We're messing around with a good amount of kids. You know, the transfer market, still some high school kids out there that we like, some graduate transfers that, you know, we're having discussions with. And so, but we're in no hurry. You know, with our group coming back, I like our team, and so, you know, it looks to be that our roster is going to stay intact.
The MSU men's basketball team has 10 players from last season's roster returning. Along with Suhanov, the Eagles have also signed Mississippi guard Tata Strickland for next season. Former Morehead State President Dr. Wayne Andrews and former Austin Peay men's basketball coach Dave Luce have been elected into the Ohio Valley Conference Hall of Fame. The two will be inducted at the annual OVC Honors Brunch that will be held Friday, June 1st at the Doubletree Hotel in downtown Nashville. Andrews served as president from 2005 until his retirement in June of 2017. Andrews was the chair of the OVC Board of Presidents twice and was the longtime chair of the OVC's Finance Committee. During his time at MSU, the Eagles won 16 OVC championships and made 11 NCAA tournament appearances and 21 Universal Cheerleading Association national championships. And lastly in sports, Tiger Woods has been at Quail Hollow for 4 days. Today he made his only birdie on his final hole in the Wells Fargo Championship, which was an 18-foot putt on the par 4 ninth hole. He stretched out both arms in mock celebration after his 2 over 73 that got him just inside the cut line. Woods has taken 64 putts over two rounds and was at 2 over 144. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Baseball welcomes Jacksonville State this weekend and Western Carolina on Wednesday, May 16th. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks closed sharply higher as Wall Street shrugged off lackluster numbers in the government's monthly jobs report, while shares of Apple hit an all-time high to lead the technology sector higher. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 332.36 at 24,262.51. The S&P 500 was up 33.69 at 2663.42, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 121.47 at 7209.62. As mentioned, Apple stock jumped 3.9% after famed investor Warren Buffett revealed that he bought 75 million shares of the iPhone maker in recent months, and of course this helped translate into strength in the NASDAQ and the market as a whole. The NASDAQ was also strengthened by good gains today in Facebook, which was up 1.4%, and also Google parent Alphabet, which was up 2.4%. Tech also got a lift after a 4.5% bump in Activision Blizzard, which reported adjusted earnings and revenue that beat Wall Street expectations yesterday. The Labor Department reported that the economy added 164,000 jobs in the month of April, lower than the 195,000 expected by economists going into the report. Average hourly earnings growth also missed, rising 0.15% against expectations of a 0.2% gain. Despite the miss in the number of jobs added, the government said the unemployment rate fell to 3.9%, which is an 18-year low. In the commodities markets, oil was up 2% today at $69.78 a barrel. Gold was up 0.2% at $1,314.90 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were strong as the Stock 600 index gained 0.625%. And in the Far East, stocks were mostly down, with the Nikkei down 0.2% and the Shanghai Composite down 0.3%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Apple and McDonald's, while the lone stock in the Dow industrials that was down today was Chevron. In the S&P 500, the best performers were CBS and IDEX Laboratories, and the worst performers were Fluor and Nektar Therapeutics. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $1.74 at $73.22, CSX up 88 cents at $59.97, AK Steel up 18 cents at $4.53, Marathon Petroleum down 51 cents at $76.95, AEP up 15 cents at $69.39, and Kroger was up 27 cents, finishing at $24.15. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking one last look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area. Tonight, there's a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 59. On Saturday, there's an 80% chance of showers, mainly in the afternoon, high near 69. That 80% chance of showers continues into Saturday night, mainly before 3 a.m., lows around 54. And on Sunday, there's a 40% chance of showers with thunderstorms, also possible, partly sunny with highs near 74. It's currently 70 degrees here in Moorhead. And that is it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from MSPR staff Chuck Moraz, Sean Delaney, Arlo Barnett, Jack Cottle, Chaz Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Braxton Howard, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke had your stock report, and our feature commentary this afternoon was provided by Dr. John Modaff. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. I'm Ellen Barnett, and for all of the MSPR news team, this is WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.